Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the professions right after this. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton. These remarks were apparently made by Swinton, then the preeminent New York journalist, probably one night about 1880. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given him by the leaders of his craft. Someone who knew neither the press nor Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Swinton outraged all of his colleagues when he replied, "There is no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. You know it and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes." Unquote. Well, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program, the New World Order. Men and families like the Windsors, Rockefellers, Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, the Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000 and Bible prophecy in this New World Order, why don't you call and order my 4-hour compact disc package. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967, and order that free CD package. That's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click on the email, and then send an email request for the free General Law CD package. You ought to do it right now before you forget. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we took a look at the professions as they result, or as they related, I should say, to the lawyers, bankers, and preachers. And I said this time we take a look at the educators. Well, educators are professors, high school teachers, preachers, grade school teachers, administrators, social workers, criminologists, sociologists, and so on. I've got eight professions down here that deal with this thing of education. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about education. God, our Creator, had a lot to say about ignorance and foolishness, nonsense. He had a lot to say about education. He had a lot to say about knowledge and wisdom and understanding. He wrote a whole book called the Book of Proverbs. If you want real knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, there's 31 chapters there in the Book of Proverbs. That's where you get it. If you want to be a wise guy, the Book of Proverbs is the book to read. I wrote out the whole Book of Proverbs in longhand, and then I divided it up into all of its major subject matters. And I indexed them all, and I put the whole story together in the Book of Proverbs. I code-pled it out, in short. And it deals with these three facets of education: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that's what education is all about. In the final analysis, it deals with your inalienable right to choose. And of course, God came along and He gave Adam and Eve a choice. He said, here's a bunch of trees in the garden. There's a whole bunch of them. You can eat off of all of them. All of them except this one. I got one tree over here. I reserved it for me. Don't you eat off of it. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't want to know. But you don't want to know about that. Well, Adam and Eve decided that, yeah, they did want to know. They wanted to be educated. They wanted to have the knowledge of good and evil. Well, okay. Well, now we got it. You and I, boys and girls, have the knowledge of good and evil. You know that adultery is evil. You know that theft is wrong. You know that murder is against the law. Even the pagan nations around us know that these are evil and wicked. You can go to China, for crying out loud, and they'll tell you that theft, thou shalt not steal. You could go to Japan or Tibet, and they would tell you that murder is wrong, that it's bad. You can go to the Amazon jungle and they'll tell you that adultery, taking sexual liberties with another man's wife, is wrong. These people don't have any particular knowledge of God and the Bible or Allah or Buddha or Jesus or anybody else. But even your common sense, you can call it instinct in animals. In humans, my old granddaddy used to call it common sense. He'd say, well, that fool hasn't got sense enough to carry guts to a barrel. Hasn't got sense enough to carry guts to a barrel. Couldn't put the garbage in a barrel. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about that. And it has a lot to say about these teachers that profess themselves to be wise and are in reality fools. The Book of Proverbs has a lot to say about fools and foolishness. I'm not going to read the Book of Proverbs to you, but let me show you what the first chapter of Romans has to say. First chapter of Romans. Romans 1, verse about 24. Let me see if I'm about right there. Romans 1, am I about right, verse 24? Talking about the pagan philosophers. Now it starts over here about verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Teachers, hey, you teachers, you public school teachers, and you professors. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, these teachers run around giving each other pieces of paper, telling each other how smart they are. I told you that in the last story. I had a lawyer with 30 pieces of paper on the wall, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. I have people that come in here to school every once in a while, and you know, as the class goes on, somebody will say, well, I've got this master's degree, or I've got this PhD, or I've got this degree in this or that or something else, you know. Oh. Well, when you come here to the Gordon Law School, we don't give any degrees at all. None. You don't even get a piece of paper that says you attended school here. Why is that? We don't sell pieces of paper here. We sell information. Just information. I don't care whether you learn it or not. It's no skin off my back. You're not going to walk out of here and say to somebody, oh, I went to the Gordon Law School. I'm a lawyer now. I'm really smart. Look at this. I got a piece of paper to hang up on my wall, professing myself to be wise. And when somebody walks out of this school, I don't know how much knowledge they've got. How do I know if they listened to what I had to say? How do I know if they've studied to show themselves approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed? I can't tell how much somebody knows or doesn't know. Can you? When the guy opens his mouth, you know, he will probably remove all doubt. I've observed that over the years. There's an old proverb, you know, that says, you know, even a fool is counted as wise when he holds his peace. Even a fool, when he keeps his mouth shut. Nobody can tell whether this guy's a fool or not until he opens his mouth and removes all doubt. Well, Paul went on and he said a little bit more about this. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In verse 23, he says, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. I notice in the public schools today that we worship the creation. We don't worship the Creator. So we talk a lot about preserving the environment and environmentalism. You know, God gave us planet Earth, and he said, dress it and keep it. Take care of the garden. He gave us the brass and the iron and the metals and the minerals. He said, now use it intelligently. And so these nature tree huggers, I guess old Rush Limbaugh calls them tree huggers, they don't want to cut down trees. They want to live in houses, but they don't want to cut down trees and make lumber. Never occurred to them that here in the United States, in the southeastern United States, it's the most productive piece of real estate producing forest and forest products in the world. North Carolina, around the horn to Louisiana. Southeastern United States. Private property. Private property produces more timber and timber products than any other location on planet Earth. So private property and private ownership works well. That's the way God designed it. Now out in the West, the forests burn up. They've got them shut down. They're politicized. And they don't pay for themselves. If you added up the amount of money that you're spending on fire suppression and Ranger Rick out there in the West, and then how much timber you're getting off of it, it's a net loss. You'd be better off burn it up, fire those guys, and go back home and just leave it a desert. You'd be money ahead. Those are the environmentalists. In verse 26, he goes on, he says, for this cause God gave them up unto their vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. We call them lesbians today. That's verse 26. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. We call those sodomites. These people die. These sodomites, they die between ages 39 and 45 on average. 39 to 45, sodomites. You know, they ought to be able to figure out, it shouldn't take too long to figure out, that maybe that lifestyle isn't as good as we thought it was. I'm not here to tell you to change your lifestyle. I'm just sitting here bringing your attention to the fact that these are the realities of life, you know. I never met a man at age 45 that said, well, that's it. I've burned the candle at both ends. And I'm ready to die now. I've had all the fun that I could poke at myself. I've never met one. When they get to be age 45 and they got AIDS and are about to die, they come to me and say, Gordon, you need to spend more money on taxes so that we can find a cure to AIDS. And I'm sitting here saying, I'm not going to spend a dime paying taxes to find a cure to AIDS. AIDS is the penalty that you pay for your criminal behavior. But that's where government's at. They want to spend money to find a cure to AIDS. Why would we want to find a cure to AIDS when AIDS is the solution to sodomy? Somebody says, oh, God, Gordon, you're insensitive. What's insensitive about law and order? I didn't make it that way. I'm just a reporter. I'm just telling you it's the way it is. God designed it, and he created it, and he said, this is the way it's going to work. Some guy's age 39 to 45. He's got AIDS. He's ready to die. I said, well, you got what you got your just desserts. You got what you bargained for. Insensitive health. He says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know, people today, and this is especially true in the public schools, they do not want to retain God in their knowledge. They have banned the Bible from public school. I mean, that's about as blatant a statement. They did not want to retain God in their knowledge. We want to put God out of our minds. Totally. So I always wondered, you know, why do you Christian people out there want to send your children to a public institution that wants to put God out of our minds? Somehow that just didn't make any sense to me. So years ago when I saw the public schools put God out of their minds and put the Bible out of the public schools, I said, well, I guess that's not where I want to send my children. I guess public school is not the place where I ought to be sending my children. I think I better be sending them to a parochial school or a private school or educating them at home or doing something a little different here. I know it's a wild new idea, but no, let's give it a thought. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Hey, is there any other adjective that you could describe a degenerate pervert than with those right there? And that's what we teach our children in public school. That's what we send our children to college to learn. Evolutionary philosophy. From people who don't make any bones about it. You know, they come out of the closet and they say, well, I'm a sodomite and I'm a college professor and I'm here to teach an alternative lifestyle to your children. And you want to send your kid to college? You want to put yourself in debt? You want to put your kid through an institution to train him to be a pervert? And you call me a right-wing radical? You call me stupid? Huh? Well, of course, you know, if you yourself are a pervert and you want to preserve perversion and to expand perversion and to make perversion all pervasive, well, that's the program for you. College, high school, public school. I can't think of a better place to accomplish that goal. But the 65% of you that go to church every Sunday, don't you think that's a little peculiar? Don't you think that that's a little off base and out to lunch? Preachers, have you heard any preachers talking about public school? Telling you, hey, don't send your kid to public school. How about professors, high school teachers, grade school teachers? No, they're all telling you, you want to send your kid to college. Why do you want to send your kid so he can learn to be a parasite like all the rest of us? And that's because preachers, professors, high school teachers, grade school teachers, administrators, social workers, criminologists, and sociologists are all parasites. They produce nothing and consume much. And furthermore, they're totally unnecessary. We don't need one of them. Not one of them. What the hell do you need a preacher for? Get up in the pulpit and lie to you? I haven't heard a preacher ever tell the truth. Well, I suppose once in a while they accidentally will say something that's truthful. But as a general rule, they're just paid professional liars. Professors and high school teachers and grade school teachers, you know, we look upon them in our society today as being, you know, the creme de la creme. They're the greatest people that God ever put breath into. God bless our teachers. And I suppose there's a few good ones out there. I don't want to say that every teacher that ever drew breath is a dirty, rotten, low-down scallywag. But you know, the educational process, at least here in the United States, I'll reserve judgment on the rest of you people around the world, and you can decide for yourself what you got there. But you know, here in the United States, we don't allow God into our public schools. We teach evolutionary philosophy. We lie to our children in the public schools. And we lie to them through our teachers. And we teach them perversion. We teach them all kinds of wickedness and evil. And when it comes to teacher competency, I mean, we got some real clowns in our public school systems, and they're licensed, bonded, and insured. You can't get rid of these clowns. You can't get rid of them. Now, listen to this. With the growing awareness of poor student performance, attention has begun to focus not only on the educational system, but on teachers in particular. 20 states have acted to stem the flow of teachers who can't spell, can't add, and can't punctuate by requiring competency testing for teachers. Excuse me? A teacher that can't add, can't spell, and can't punctuate? Hell, he had to graduate from high school, and then he had to graduate from college, and then he comes into the public schools, and he's a teacher, and he can't add, can't punctuate, and can't spell. He's licensed, bonded, insured, and he is a high school and college graduate. Now, when the test was given last April to 1,269 juniors in Texas teacher education programs, 38% failed the examination. More than a third of the teachers, the graduates, you know, from college, teacher school, come in here, a third of them flunk. How in the hell did they get out of college? How'd these guys graduate from high school? Much less college. Now, these tests test basic skills taught by the 12th grade. These people now are coming in here to be teachers. They've got teaching credentials. They come in to take tests to see if they can qualify for the public school system to be teachers. I've got a girl 17 years old, homeschooled. She's a teacher and she has 5 students in her private school right here on the farm. 17 years old. She's competent. She can add, she can punctuate, and she can spell. And she doesn't have a teaching credential. And the people who bring their children to my daughter pay her money to have their children educated. We don't have to come in here and take a test. You know, you want to be able to take your children into somebody that, I mean, if you don't think that you can teach them, you should be able to take them to a teacher, talk to that teacher for 15 or 20 minutes and come to a conclusion as to whether this person knows something or doesn't. Or word of mouth or something over here. We got this public school system over here where we've got people with pieces of paper that professes that they are wise, educated, and knowledgeable. Then when you give them a test, a third of them can't pass it. They can't add, they can't punctuate, and they can't spell. Huh? And these people have pieces of paper that tell you that they are wise? Oh, come on. Give me a break, would you? Now, this test was also given to 3,300 new teachers in the Houston Independent School District. Because of cheating and other irregularities, did you get that? Because of cheating and other irregularities, scores for only 2,400 of the teachers were reported. Almost two-thirds, 62%, failed the exam. These people are teachers. They've all got pieces of paper, for crying out loud. Now, here's another neat, interesting fact. We're spending about $7,500 a year here in the United States. $7,500 a year to educate one child in public school. Two-thirds of that money goes to administration. One-third goes to teaching. See, we have this gigantic bureaucracy. And the bureaucracy sucks up two-thirds of the money. It's a big WPA for people who are so damn dumb they can't get a job anywhere else in the society. The reason that you need professional teachers out here is because they're so damn dumb they couldn't work in the real world. They couldn't make a living out on the farm. Honest to God, if you brought them here and gave them a piece of ground and you gave them a box of seeds, they'd starve to death. That's how damn incompetent they are. So we have to give them a job somewhere, doing something, so we make teachers out of them and we put them in the public schools, and then we send our children in here and wonder why our kids can't read and write. And then you people write me emails and say, Gordon, you're a right-wing reactionary fanatic. Okay. I'll wear that badge with honor. But I'm not brain dead. You won't find my children going to public school to be educated by 2,400 teachers, of which 62% of them can't pass a damn test, for crying out loud, and they've got a degree from college. Now, I don't have a degree from college, but I'll bet you I can pass the test. I got a 17-year-old girl, and I'll bet you she can pass the test. I'll tell you a little story over here. My daughter was in the Ludi public school over here. See, in our state, you homeschool, but you're counted as being a student in the Ludi public school district. And in our state, we're pretty liberal here in our state. You can educate your child at home. In fact, you can educate your child at home in all 50 states in the United States. Did you know that? There's a homeschooling provision in your state education program. And in our state, they require that you have your kid tested once a year. So you educate your kid, and then you get a letter from the school district that says, okay, well, you got your kid at home, you're educating them at home, so you got to bring them in for testing. And so every year you have to bring her over there and have her tested. Well, when she was 12 years old, she went over to get tested, and she tested at grade 12.8, I believe it was, just shade under college level. Had she scored at grade 13, she'd have been a freshman in college, but she was grade 12.8, I believe it was, or 12.6. And they said, well, you don't need to bring her back for testing anymore because she's already at age 12, at least superior to any standard that we have for 12th grade. That's high school senior. Boys and girls, I don't think it's because my daughter is so damn smart. I think it's because the public school standards are so damn dumb. I mean, my daughter is bright, and she's intelligent, and she's a sweet young lady, but I'm an old man now, and I can remember 17-year-old girls and 12-year-old girls, you know, when I was a kid, and I don't think that my daughter is any different than Joyce Hedberg when I was in school, or Betty West, or any of the other girls that I knew. They all seemed to be kind of normal and average young girls, you know, and so my daughter is about like them. I think the public school system has degenerated. And if your children are being taught by teachers, of which 62% of them can't pass the damn test, doesn't that tell you that the teachers are incompetent? Now, there's a story here in the Bible. I'm going to give you a couple of three stories here from the scriptures as it relates to what God's standards of education are. I mean, there's a guy out here that we call God, a guy that we call the creator of the universe, and he had some standards. And he said, I want you to educate your children, boys and girls, and I want you to educate them to these standards. The education system created by God is called homeschool. You produce this little bread snapper now, feed them, clothe them, house them, and educate them. That's what life is all about. It's what marriage and family and responsibility is all about. So when we take a look at number 33, that's education. When you hear me use these numbers like number 33, it's chapter 33 of the Mosaic Law. See, there's 133 subject matters of law in the Bible, of which one of them, number 33, in alphabetical order, is education. God did not forget some statutes, rules, regulations, customs, usages, and practices concerning educating children. God is a pretty good educator, and he knew just about what it was that your kid needed to know. And so he wrote a book, and he said, I want you to educate your kid. Now, in America, we used to start our children off on the Bible. Abraham Lincoln learned how to read out of the Bible. in the early days before we had public schools. And the reason that I can be so dogmatic and say we need public schools like we need ticks on a dog's ear is because in America from 1787 to 1900, we didn't have public schools. We educated our children at home or in private schools. The first public school came into being in this country about 1836 in Boston, Massachusetts. And that plague of parasites has continued to grow until today. It dominates the educational system of America. And of course, we've got one of the poorest educational systems in the world. Everybody complains about it. Nobody seems to be able to do anything to correct it. So I'm going to show you how to correct it. But before we do that, let me give you this reminder. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at area code 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And one more caveat here. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers. So don't get mad at Procter & Gamble now, or the management or the staff of the network or of this local radio station. They didn't do it, and they're not telling you this story. They just air this program because we pay to have it aired. How's that? For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to the website. That's georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. That gets you to the webpage. Or you can call direct, 417-273-4967. And if you're wondering, why would I want to call you? You'd want to call me and order the free 4-hour CD package. You can't get it unless you call and ask for it. How's that? If you don't want it, let it lie. If you want it, call. All right, now let's take a look here and let's show you what God had in mind when he talked about education. I'll just read you the high spots here. It's about 7 or 8 pages. I'm not going to read you all 7 or 8 pages. I'll just read you the high spots of it. Listen to this story here. Here's what God has to say about education. He said, "You shall teach them ordinances and laws, that you may teach them, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. Now hearken, therefore, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them. But ye that did cleave unto the Eternal your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. For what nation is there so great, who has God so nigh unto them, as the Eternal your God, as in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that has statutes and judgments so righteous, as all of this law which I set before you this day? But teach them to your sons and to your sons' sons, and that they may teach their children. And the Eternal commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess it, which you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land which the Eternal, which I give them to possess it. Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Eternal your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess it, that you might fear the Eternal your God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children." Did you notice over and over again, he says, listen, the most important piece of educational information that we can convey to our children is this law. Yeah, this very law that the public school teachers, you know, the professors, I mean all the paid professionals, have thrown out of our public school system or public institutions. Now, he's got a little bit more to say here. He says, and when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Eternal our God has commanded you? Then you shall say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Eternal our God brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Eternal showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all of his household, before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Eternal commanded us to do all of these statutes, to fear the Eternal our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all of these commandments before the Eternal our God, as he has commanded us. Again, God tells you, you know, I've given you these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. Now, the United States of America has given us 2.5 million laws. And remember this, boys and girls, every law restricts or inhibits your freedom to some degree. You know, the law that says buckle your seatbelt and get a child seat, you know, for your kid. That restricts your freedom to choose. God never gave you laws like that. He said, You ought to be smart enough to figure out for yourself whether or not you want to buckle your seatbelt, for crying out loud. You ought to be smart enough to figure out whether you ought to go down to Toys R Us and buy yourself a car seat for your baby. I don't need to tell you how to live your lives. But let me tell you a couple of three things over here that you might need to know. Stay out of Flo's whorehouse. And to keep your hands off of your neighbor's wife. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't have other gods. Don't worship all these crazy figments of your imagination, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Don't serve these crazy politicians like Ted Kennedy and Hillary Clinton. Grow up. Get real. Get a life. Get some smarts. Get something between your ears beside stupidity. He goes on to say, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them, when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. He says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Now a blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Eternal your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Eternal your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. And so our teachers now teach us evolutionary philosophy. They threw the law of God out and brought in Darwin and Lyell. They give each other pieces of paper and tell each other that they're just smart as whips and they can't add, subtract, punctuate, or spell. And then we bring those fools into the public school system, pay $7,500 a year to educate our kids, and when our kids come out of school, they can't read and write, and we wonder, gosh, I wonder why. How come American kids can't score like Japanese kids do? Because we got our heads right up the middle of our rectal regions. That's what our problem is. And then we pay that kind of money to these fools and blind and call ourselves intelligent. Now somebody's going to write me a letter and say, oh my God, you know you're insensitive and you're condemning all these teachers out here. Well, every one of you teachers have a license, don't you? And a license is what, boys and girls? It's permission to do something that's illegal, unlawful, a tort, or a trespass. A license is permission to break a law, because whatever it is that you're doing that you needed the license to do is a criminal activity. Now that's why you've got the license, you teachers out there, and that's because you're criminals. And then we, the parents, who send our children to be educated by these ignorant criminals in the public school, are what we call accessories before and accessories after the fact. Now don't sit there and complain about your kid being dumb. It's your own damn fault if your kid is dumb. I mean, you sent him to a stupid school so that you could dumb him down. That's what we're buying. That's what they're selling, and that's what we're buying. Now, if you want to buy smarts, well, then let's do something different. If you want to buy the stupids, keep after it. You've got the right program for dumb. If you want to dumb your kid down, send him to public school. That's the program. That's what we're buying. I told you that the other day when we were talking about crime. If you want to buy more crime, what you want is to raise your taxes 5%, hire 5% more policemen, increase your laws by 5%, add 5% more laws, and then send those 5% more policemen out to enforce those 5% new laws with that 5% new tax money that came out of your pocket so that you can have 5% more crime, because at the end of the year, you're going to have a 5% increase in crime. That's what you're buying. That's what you wanted. Now, if you want less crime, what you do is you take 5 laws off the books. 5% of the laws, take them off the books. Then get rid of 5% of the policemen, and you'll have 5% less crime. And that's just common sense. Hell, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure that out. You want to have dumb kids, you send them to public school. You want to have smart kids, you educate them at home. The statistics, you know, tell us this. If you educate a child at home in a homeschooling program, it costs 1/10 as much. And they get 60% better scores. So if you want a kid that's 60% smarter, for 1/10 the price, you educate him at home. If you want a kid that is 60% dumber, and costs 90% more, you send into public school. And it's a choice that you make. And I don't sit there and bitch about the results that you get. You've got a choice. Make it. And then don't bitch about the solution or the results. Here's a little bit more. God tells you that, and shall teach men so. This is Matthew 5:17-20. He shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Talking about the least commandments. You want to be called great in the kingdom of heaven? Do and teach the least commandments. In Matthew 15:1-9, he says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You 65% of you church-going Christians out there, this is your Messiah now. He says, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Time's coming when we will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And that's what we've done in our public schools. We've turned ourselves away from our God and turned ourselves to evolutionary philosophy and every kind of perversion. We call this perversion alternative lifestyles. No, alternative lifestyle hell. We're teaching our children to be sodomites, lesbians, and perverts. And then we get just mad as hell, you know, when somebody goes out here and kidnaps some little girl, takes her out and rapes and murders her. We just get mad as hell and send our children to public school to teach them sodomy. Ah, come on, boys and girls. Surely we got to be smarter than that, don't we? In 2 Peter 2:1-2, but there were false prophets also among the people, talking about your preachers now, false prophets. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, like alternative lifestyles and evolution, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. The majority, many, the majority, over 50%, are going to follow these pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know, You go out here and tell people, you don't think we ought to practice the Ten Commandments. They talk about you like you're some kind of a pariah. You come into the public school and say, hey, I think we ought to have an alternative lifestyle. I think we ought to have a little more sodomy in here. Oh, boy, what wisdom. What a great thinker that fellow is. If I came over the air here and I told you to go out and be a pervert, you'd say, hey, that guy Gordon's a great thinker. I tell you what perversion is all about, you get mad at me and say, ooh, this guy is against public school teachers. I'm against stupidity. And stupidity is being promulgated by high school, grade school teachers, administrators, social workers, criminologists, sociologists, preachers, and professors. But there's more to the story. That's just the tip of the iceberg. What is it that teachers do that break the law? Well, there's four of them. So let me pull those out here and I'll tell you what they are. First of all, teachers practice blasphemy. Number 10, blasphemy. Remember number 10, that's the table of contents from the Mosaic Law. There's 133 subject matters of law in the Bible, covered by 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, and I code-plot them out, and I put them in alphabetical order. And in the alphabetical order, number 10 comes out to blasphemy. Teachers, public school teachers, practice blasphemy. They come into the public schools and teach against God. That's treason against our Creator. They teach evolution, and they teach sodomy, and they teach perversion, and they love it. I showed you that in Romans chapter 1. Does that mean all teachers do that? No, they don't all do it, but probably the majority do. Maybe 90% do. I don't know what the percentages are. If you're a public school teacher and you're honest and you're teaching creationism instead of evolution, and you're teaching morality instead of alternative lifestyle, you know, maybe you're a cut above the average, but you're in the minority. And if you get caught doing that, you're going to get fired, and you know that as well as I do. Because the administrators in your public schools are not going to allow you to teach creationism, and they're not going to allow you to teach morality. So, if you want to go along, you're going to get along, you're going to go along. To get along, you got to go along, and to go along, you got to get along, and so you'll just do what you're told, because that's the way you make your living. Which makes you a hypocrite. How do you like that? Now, number 33 comes into play along with 24. Let's try number 33, education. I read to you a number of statutes in here that deal with education. If you teachers out there were to teach the education laws of the Scripture, of God, in the public schools, you would be fired. You know that as well as I do. Just like John Swinton over here. Remember I told you about John Swinton, and he said, you know, I said to you, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton. Swinton was a journalist. And Swinton told the truth. That occurs once in a while. Once in a while an insider will stand up and say, let me tell you what's going on in the teaching profession. Let me teach you what's going on. Let me tell you the story. What's going on here with Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and the CBS Evening News. Let me tell you where we get this. Doesn't happen often, but once in a while you get an honest guy that comes up there and he says, well, let me tell you. We call those whistleblowers. And whistleblowers are not very popular people. Not very popular at all. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel were all whistleblowers. Jesus was a whistleblower. And he identified people. He told them that they were hypocrites. He called them liars. Called them thieves. He told them just exactly the truth, and it just made them mad as hell. We don't want to hear the truth. It's the last thing we want to hear. Somebody's going to write me an email now, and they're going to say, well, Gordon, you know, you're one of these. You're a dirty, low-down liar or something like that. Okay, so what? So if I'm a dirty, low-down liar, what does that give you the license to do? Go out and lie? Now, if I'm a liar, you go out and tell the truth. If I'm a thief, you go out and stop stealing. If I'm all of these wicked and evil things, you expose me for what I am, and then you go out and teach the exact opposite. You go out and teach righteousness in your public school. Stand up there in your last day in the public school and tell the students, you know, I've been lying to you about evolution all this time, and about this alternative lifestyle, and about all of these social programs and about the history I've been teaching you about the United States of America. I've been lying to you. I've been teaching you communism and the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and I really feel bad about it. That'll be your last day in public school. You know, you might be able to redeem yourself if you got up there and told the truth and repented. Number 24. School teachers violate the covenant statutes. They're licensed. And then they have a contract with bail. They have a contract with the state and federal governments. These are criminal activities. You know, God told us not to have any contracts or covenants with these foreign and alien gods. Let me read you that statute. Exodus 23:32. That'd be a good one. If you got a Bible there in front of you, turn over here to Exodus 23:32, where it says, "Then shall, or you shall make no covenants with them, nor with their gods." A license is a covenant. A license is a contract. You shall make no covenant or contract with the gods of the United States or Missouri. Well, then how would I make a living? Well, why don't you try a common law occupation? Why don't you try going out and producing something that the rest of us need, the rest of us can use? Instead of becoming a professional parasite, sucking up $7,500 to educate one child in your public school class, why don't you go out here and teach somebody how to educate their children at home? Well, for about one-tenth the cost, and get 60% better results. You know, especially if you're one of these dumb school teachers that can't pass the test. I mean, why don't you face up to reality and say, you know, teaching probably isn't for me. I'm too damn dumb to be a teacher. I'm too damn dumb to go out and make a living on my own. Maybe I should go back to school. Maybe I should become educated so that I can go out and make a living. You know, you might start with the garbage man over here and learn how to empty garbage cans. Maybe you could go out here and bond yourself maybe to a carpenter or a plumber or an electrician or something like that and say, hey, would you teach me a trade, a craft? Would you teach me something useful and productive? I did that one time. I tell you how to hire yourself a job. What you need to do is to go to somebody and say, look, I'm dumb as a box of rocks, but I'm willing to learn and I'm willing to work, and you can make money off of me. So I bonded myself to an old rancher, an old farmer by the name of Frank Rocha. And he said, okay, kid, you're 15 years old. I'll take you on. Now, I'd walk down the street that same day, and I stopped at another farmer's place. His name was Walter Bugnuda. And I said, how far is it to Frank Roach's? I'm looking for a job. And he looked at me and he said, where are you from, kid? This is Bugnuda. He said to me, hey, kid, where are you from? I said, from Eureka. And he said, "What? Who are you looking for? And I said, Frank Rocha. You're looking for Rocha? Yeah. You're looking for a job at Rocha's? Yeah. He said, hell, you might as well turn around and go on back home. Bugnuda was an old Italian guy. Frank Rocha was an old Portuguese guy. And I was shocked. I'm 15 years old. This is summer vacation. I'm looking for school money. I'm looking for some summer money. I need a job. I went up to Bud Clark's employment agency in Arcata. I took the bus down to Lolita. I'm walking 2 miles from Lolita out to Roach's farm. I'm passing by Bugnuda's. Bugnuda says, you might as well turn around and go on back home, you pimply-faced punk. You can't make it at Roach's. That's the toughest place in the valley. Toughest place in the valley. He's still farming with horses. That's what Bugnuda told me. He says they get up at 4 in the morning and they go to bed at 10 at night. You do that 7 days a week. Oh, of course you get some time off on Sunday. From 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. You get off. 5 hours a week. Free time. All yours. Well, I was shocked. I went on down the road and I told Mr. Roach why I was there. He looked at me. He didn't even want to hire me. Bugnuda said, you city kid, you can't make it out here. Rocha looked at me and he came to the same conclusion. He says, hell, you don't belong out here, boy. You ought to get back to town where you can play games, where there's sidewalks and there's cement under your feet, boy. So I said to Rocha, well, I'm willing to work, Mr. Rocha, and whatever it takes is what I'll do. He put me to work, and by God, I'll tell you, I went to work. I never worked so hard for so long, for so many, for so little in my life as I did there. I made it 3 years. Best experience I ever had. Life for me has been downhill ever since. You see, I went from Rocha's, which was the toughest place in the valley, to Trutelli's, which was the easiest place in the valley. If I'd have started at Trutelli's, I'd have never made it at Rocha's. But I started where it was so damn tough. Rocha told me one time, he said, you couldn't make it where I came from, boy. I came from the Azores. I didn't have shoes until I was 17 years old. Yeah, Americans are soft, but it's worse than that. Americans have bad teachers. I had some good teachers when I was a kid. Frank Rocha was one of those good teachers. He showed me where reality was located. He showed me what it was to work. He showed me what it meant that you will eat your bread by the sweat on your face, boy. And once I learned that lesson, my life's been downhill ever since. I haven't had any problems. I'm not complaining about OSHA and the EPA and the public school system. Why, you know, I don't have any problems with public school. There are people that send their children to public school because they want stupid kids. And then there are people that educate their children home because they want intelligent, bright, knowledgeable, educated children. That's where I come in. I said, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I got. I've got a girl 17 years old with 5 students. And she can read and write. She's educated. And she can teach. She doesn't have a teaching credential. She hasn't spent a day in college. She isn't a professional. And she's not a parasite. Not a parasite. And that's where we've got too many of. Too many parasites in the society. Too many professionals. Yeah, it's true. You got to have a few drones in the beehive to breed the queen. But you don't need 10,000 drones, boys and girls. Yeah, it is. You need a few teachers out there, but you don't need them by the tens of thousands. And the few that you got need to be good ones. You need a few good teachers. We need a few good doctors. We need a few good dentists. We need a few good professionals. But we don't need them by the tens of thousands. We don't need so damn many of these parasites that they suck all the blood out of us and we can't function. We don't need so many of them that it takes $7,500 to educate one damn kid. You know, my daughter can do it for $5 a day. She doesn't need $7,500 to educate one child. And she can compete with you school teachers, and you school teachers cannot compete with my daughter. She's smarter than you are. She's a better teacher than you are. She teaches right out of the scripture, which you don't. She's in compliance with the laws, and she's making good money at it. She's happy as a clam, and she's not complaining. And her class size is not too big. Well, there's that story on professionals. Now I got all you teachers mad at me, along with all you lawyers, bankers, preachers, and you doctors. Let's see, who can we get mad at us next time? How about the economists? How about all the CPAs and the accountants out there? We'll take them on next time. All right, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember that for more information about the Gordon Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, there's the signal. Says time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.